Praise the Lord. Cool. Good morning. So those of you listening online, if you happen to be close enough to have driven by the church, you'll see the sign out front says maintenance for the third week in a row. There's a reason for that. It was one below on Wednesday night when we changed the signs, and I cannot take the letters off the board wearing gloves. And I was not going to expose my fingers to one below for the time it takes to change the sign. That, in fact, I wasn't quite sure what the message was going to be Wednesday night, so there's that. But the message this morning is on reconciliation, which, that's part of maintenance, wouldn't you say? So I guess we can keep the reconciliation sign out there at least until this Wednesday when it's supposed to be 41 instead of one below. We're going to talk about reconciliation this morning and how important it is and how it's a requirement in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 14, says, "For the love of Christ compelled us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Stop right there for just a minute. Jesus died for each and every one of us, which means we were all under a sentence of death. Scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Another place it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." We were all under a death sentence because of our sin. But Jesus died to pay the price that we might come boldly before the throne of grace dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Coming in His righteousness, coming in His authority, coming in His presence, coming in His just the reality of who He is. That's why it says in Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 10, it says, "When you claim His soul as a sacrifice for sin, He, that is God, looks down and sees Him, that is Jesus, standing in our stead. We come before a holy God with our sins covered." Jesus being the propitiation, or the full payment, the full absolution, the full covering of our sin. So it says that if one died for all, then all died. Verse 16, "Therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Stop right there. Just as Jesus worked in us to reconcile us to God, or God reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, we are called to reconcile others to the Lord. We are called with a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of healing and restore and building and restoring relationships. Verse 19, that is, "God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespass to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." That's not pointing out people's problems and pointing out all of their failures. It's telling them about a God who loves them so much that what they've done, though horrible it may be, is not beyond the grace and love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, "Now therefore we are ambassadors of Christ, for though God, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Sharing with people the grace and love and mercy of God, that Jesus paid the price for our sin. That's the reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. We are given to reconcile, that we encourage others to be reconciled to God. Still, or let's go to Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. Says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity," or an adversary, an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The carnal mind is at enmity, is an adversary, is an enemy of God. And these are the people we've been called to reach out to. It shouldn't be surprising that we face opposition as we try to talk about the things of God. It says the carnal mind can't understand the things of God, and it's an enemy to them. Yet we are called with a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of reaching out. Jesus came in the flesh and went through every temptation and everything we face. We've talked before about how there's three main categories of temptation: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The same three categories that the devil tempted Eve with in the garden. The same three categories that Satan tempted Jesus with in the desert. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lust of the flesh is something that's not necessarily a bad thing, but an overwhelming desire that it takes place of reason. Jesus was hungry in the desert. The Satan came to him and said, "You're the Son of God. Command these stones to be made bread." Not that bread was a bad thing, especially when you're hungry. But don't let what could be a normal and a good thing get the better of you. Not to let it take power over you. The lust of the eyes took him up and showed him the temple, or showed him all the kingdoms of this world, and said, "All of these will I give you if you will but bow down and worship me." Of course, you know Jesus' answer to that. He said, "You'll worship the Lord your God only." The pride of life. If you're the Son of God, prove it. Take him up to the top of the temple. Jump off. Because he's given it, he's commanded in his word, he's given his angels charge over you that you not dash your foot against a stone. Make God prove who he is. Show how wonderful you are by making God prove who he is. No, that didn't work either. But those same three areas are areas of temptation. And we're all, every last one of us, tempted in those areas. But we are called to reconcile people to God. And Jesus came to face all of those so that he could relate. We have the Scripture says we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with our infirmities, but in every way was tested just as we are. So as we're reaching out to people, here we are in the flesh, here we are in the physical form, sent out with the new Spirit of God inside of us, with a spirit of reconciliation, so that we can relate to people. The things that we've gone through, the difficulties we have in the past, God has a habit of turning those things into areas of ministry, because they're areas we can relate to people. As you look somebody in the eyes and they see that you have gone through similar pain, it's kind of hard to discount you. God doesn't waste our tears. He doesn't waste anything about us. But we have this ministry of reconciliation. And just as it says that the carnal mind is at enmity with God, we have to find ways to relate to people, to reach out to them and to make inroads so that the Spirit of God can work through us and touch their hearts. Romans 5:8, instead of 8:5, Romans 5:8 this time says, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies to be reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice through the Lord Jesus, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. God has reconciled us to himself and has called us with a ministry of reconciliation to reach out to other people. And it's all wonderful. It's all fantastic as we talk about people being reconciled to God. But being reconciled is not just being reconciled to God. You know that, right? A ministry of reconciliation is not limited to being reconciled to God. Let me show you something. Matthew 5, beginning with verse 7. We're in the middle of the Beatitudes. We're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Beginning with verse 7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Back to verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." What are peacemakers? But people who reach out and try to do reconciliation. Is there conflict? Is there turmoil around us? Do we look for ways to try to bring peace? Do we look for ways to try to bring people together, to try to bring reconciliation? There's a verse that says, "Only through pride comes contention." How many of us have been contentious? How many of us have been contentious recently? Not so many hands. Only through pride comes contention. But we have to find ways to reach out and bring people together. That ministry of reconciliation. Remember, we don't have authority to speak into people's life until they give it to us. So the fact that we have skin on, the fact that we are, in many cases, the only Bible somebody will ever read, the only Jesus they will ever see, we should be demonstrating God's love. We should be demonstrating that heart to bring healing, that heart to bring reconciliation, that heart to bring people back together. What can we do to resolve conflict? What can we do to bring people together? So many times, people just have a different way of looking at things. Each and every one of us, the way we view a situation is based on our history and our understanding. It's based on our experience. It's based on what we've gone through. We'll change how the way we look at things. Have you ever read police reports of an accident given by the eyewitnesses? You know, the eyewitness statements? You can have four or five people see the exact same thing and they have a different perspective. They have a different understanding. And sometimes they have a different, idea of who was at fault. Sometimes it's pretty obvious, but sometimes it's not. So people looking at things a different way. How do we go about bringing people together? How do we go about bringing reconciliation? If we're the only Jesus people will see, we need to look for opportunities to speak into people's lives. We need to look for opportunities to bring people together. We need to look for the opportunity to show what reconciliation between people looks like and have that same reconciliation between them and God, because we get the opportunity to speak into their lives once we've built relationships. The old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If we can't show people love, what are the chances of them listening to something critical? Like eternal life. Before I go on down about that, I'm going to call out two names. Hold up your hands if you know who they are. Euodius and Syntyche. One, two. Euodius and Syntyche. Is that that nod was the next best thing to a hand up? These are two ladies that were having a little conflict in their church, in their home group. And it got so contentious that Paul from prison wrote and said, "Hey, you two cut it out. I implore Euodius, I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind, to stop your fighting, stop your bickering. I heard about it all the way over here." Now, we know who they are, but they don't know who we are. Can you imagine getting to heaven? You know, meeting people all around. "Oh, you're Euodius. Oh, you're Syntyche. I read about you." But even the people that knew them at the time got called out from their conflict. Scripture tells us, if we see a brother or see anyone overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such to one in a spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. Recognize, we're called to reach out and restore people and to lift people up and to encourage people. It says, an elder rebuke before all is in a person in leadership, but it also talks about the elder people, to implore them as a parent, to employ them as a father or as a mother. The younger people, to implore them as children, to bring love into the relationship. Because that love is the reconciliation. That love is a demonstration of who God is. That love is a demonstration of what He's done in me, what He's done in you. It's because of that love that we can boldly come before the throne of grace. It's because of the love of what Jesus did on our behalf and has called us and given us the ministry of reconciliation to reach out to others like in the same manner. Going back to Matthew, still in chapter 5, but down to verse 23. It says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. That reconciliation is so important. It doesn't say if you have something against your brother, don't bring your gift. It says if your brother has something against you, leave your gift and go be reconciled. That's more important, to get that relationship right. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this right after the Beatitudes in this same sermon. He says, if there's conflict, if there's turmoil in your family, work to get it right. I know sometimes you can't. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes you reach out all you can reach out. But it doesn't change the fact that they won't listen. But it says, try. Go. Give it a shot. Final passage of Scripture, James 3, beginning with verse 13. Says, who then is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We are called to a ministry of reconciliation because of what Jesus has done to us. Our life is not our own. We are bought with a price. I read the scripture earlier that says, we know that if one died for all, then all died. But the life that we have is a gift and blessing of God, is because of the Spirit of God, is because of Jesus Christ in our life. We are bought with a price. We no longer have the option of relying on our own wisdom. We no longer have the option of doing things our own way. As children of God, as ambassadors of heaven, as ministers of the Most High, we are called to show the love. We are called to a ministry of reconciliation, not only to guiding people to God, but also to bring healing between people as much as is among us, as much as possible in us. You know, as much as it relies upon you, live at peace with all men. As do everything you can do to make it right, is what Scripture says. We are called to love one another. We are called to be the light. And not be surprised when people who are not followers of God don't understand, because Scripture told us the carnal mind is at enmity, is an adversary, is an enemy of God. But because we have the Spirit of God inside of us, because we have the mind of Christ, because we have a life that is founded in Jesus Christ, we are called to be that light to the people around us. We are called to reach out and show that love. We are called with a ministry of reconciliation, of healing, of peacemaking, so that we can speak into their lives. When they see how much we care, when they know how much we care, they'll care how much we know. when they see that we love them, then they can see what love looks like. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you. We are thankful, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you've given us, a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of healing, a ministry of drawing close, a ministry, Father, of setting things right, a ministry, Lord, of your grace and of your mercy, a ministry, Father, to show your love to the world around us, a ministry, Father, that breaks down barriers, that breaks down walls, and that overflows with love, not seeking our own way of doing things, not seeking our own understanding, but rather, Lord, walking in your Spirit and in your love. We give glory and praise, Father. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.